Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss America's rapidly disappearing advantage in military technology and warfighting capability, the efforts to correct this decline and maintain an effective deterrent is known as the third offset strategy. First, a little background. If we are now developing the third offset strategy, what were the first two offset strategies? The first was developed by President Eisenhower to counter or offset the tremendous advantage held by the Soviet Union in terms of sheer numbers during the 1950s. He needed to counter the 175 divisions the Soviets had in Europe without bankrupting the United States and its allies. The U.S. decided to reduce its manpower and rely on the tremendous advantage it held in advanced nuclear weapons and their delivery systems. But the U.S. nuclear deterrent was useless during the Vietnam War, and America's preoccupation there for 15 years allowed the Soviets to catch up so that when the war ended and the U.S. defense budget was cut by $100 billion, it found that the U.S. advantage in nuclear weapons was gone, and it was no longer much of a deterrent. Under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, their Secretaries of Defense, a new breakthrough was needed, and that became the second offset strategy. The second strategy was run by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. Under DARPA's research efforts, the U.S. debuted super-accurate precision-guided missile systems that almost guaranteed a first-round hit, stealth technology, an aircraft invisible to radar, AWACS early warning aircraft circling over the battlefield, controlling it all, and battlefield management, all guided and directed by satellites in space. These new weapons could deliver with virtually zero miss capability, conventional firepower as devastating as tactical nuclear weapons. Soviet modeling of the potential advantage led to the end of the Cold War and the breakup of the Soviet Union. The new weapons were demonstrated in the first Gulf War, and the world saw the U.S. advantage firsthand. Since the end of the Cold War with the Soviet Union and the hot war in the Gulf, the rule among nation states has been that the U.S. was too far advanced to be challenged. No one could mount a direct challenge to the United States, which perhaps caused overconfidence. Much of that advantage wasted in the Gulf Wars. The United States still holds the advantage, but that advantage is disappearing rapidly, the technological advantage that guarantees the U.S. can defeat any potential adversary is almost gone. American dominance on the seas, in the skies, and especially in space and cyberspace can no longer be taken for granted. There is also a new player in the game, a player in the game of military dominance, and that player is China. China seeks to press its claims in the Western Pacific, and Russia seeks to press its claims in what it thinks of as its near abroad. Other less powerful states, such as Iran and North Korea, are emboldened and ready to cause problems when they see U.S. weakness and the U.S. realization that the cost of confrontation would be unacceptably high. As Assistant Secretary of Defense Bob Work said in a recent speech, China and to some extent Russia avoid the research and development costs of new technology and just steal the finished product from us. The U.S. foots the cost and decades of work in research and development of new weapon systems, but China and Russia manage to save all that by just stealing. Why don't we steal their stuff too? Well, they don't develop anything worth stealing, I guess, folks. Both China and Russia are moving quickly and modernizing their forces. Stealth technology, satellite technology, drone technology are now well known and widespread. Tremendous advances in computational ability are widespread around the world. Aircraft carriers, once the U.S.'s biggest advantage, can now be tracked and hit by supersonic sea-skimming missiles fired from shore, which makes them vulnerable. Lack of carrier movement and carrier dominance will deny the U.S. of deny the use of American fighters to U.S. forces, deny their cruise missiles around the world without in-flight refueling by very vulnerable tankers. Most importantly, the satellites America relies on to direct and control the battlefield are no longer safe from attack. Therefore, a third offset strategy is called for. 25 years of counterterrorism wars has distracted research and development and left U.S. forces vulnerable. Chuck Hagel talked about the new offset strategy while he was Secretary of Defense, but apparently his successor, Ashton Carter, was brought in to run the new strategy. The new research will seek to counter Chinese advances in what the military refers to as A2AD, which is area denial missile systems, which makes carriers vulnerable to missile attack, new stealth drones and unmanned aircraft which can deliver munitions on target without pilots. Since there are no pilots, there's no training necessary. The new planes don't get tired. They don't need sleep. Robotics, unmanned submarines, a new long-range bomber to be called the B-3, electromagnetic rail guns to counter incoming anti-ship missiles. If carriers continue to be an effective force in the U.S. military at sea, they will have to be protected. We'll see if the will to pay for all this stuff is as great as the will to build it. Sacrifices will have to be made and programs will have to be cut. The Defense Secretary has made it clear that he is counting on allies to contribute their part. He emphasized specialization. That means that everyone, every nation, is good at something, better than others at something, and they should be willing to contribute that. In summary, this comes at a time of financial as well as military vulnerability. Most of the allies we are counting on are trying to stave off default on their debts and currency collapse, but once again, the world finds itself in a global arms race when it can least afford it. Finally, folks, it's all too bad, all too sad, but that's the way it is. At least that's the way it seems to me, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.